like won the lottery with Brian and Sierra because like best QA, best developer, like how I'm a lucky girl.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Adam.
So you went around NeoCon and you got some interviews and stuff because we were going to do a NeoCon-focused episode.
Yeah.
I was at the booth for most of NeoCon with a short break on one day. So one of the interviews you'll actually hear me in. But this is going to be...
Sorry for that.
Yeah, this is going to be a very Audrey-focused episode. So if Adam's your favorite podcast host, you're screwed.
I did tell Adam I'd try to let him have more of the commentary parts in between the interviews. So.
Yeah, so you get my feedback, which you definitely want as a listener's podcast. You don't get enough in the nerd alerts.
Yeah, it all balances out in the end, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's all wash. It just averages out. So yeah, anyway, who did you talk to that we want to talk about today, Audrey?
So we actually talked about a lot of people too, but we talked with lots of people, but the three that we want to kind of focus on today, we realized that there was so much good content in these interviews that we wouldn't get the meat of it if we just took sound bites from all of these different interviews. So we kind of looked for like common threads across a few different ones. And the three we're going to share today are clips from talking with Kaylee Tucker from Convergent Solutions, who's released a new utility extension. She actually launched it at NeoCon that helps with like automatic pay-per-views and stuff. We talked with Brian Meyer, which has just such a good ring to his name. He works at Meyer Fabrics, which I learned is like actually a family company. I had no idea.
Yep.
And so he talked about their participation in the new material portal that makes it easier to specify COMs and everything else in CT. And then lastly, you participated in this one.
Yeah.
We talked with Jason Lund from CIT, not to be confused with CET. Very confusing. We all love acronyms. Do you know what CIT stands for?
Computer Integration Technologies.
Computer Integration Technologies. There you have it. So CIT has worked on an extension called Aura, which accelerates rendering like super, super fast. And you get the extension and it just makes PhotoLab 7 bazillion times faster. And that's a statistic. That's a real data point. So yeah, so we talked with them, and the reason why we wanted to kind of call them out is to bring it back to the design thinking kind of theme here of they saw a need in the designer community, a need that users were having, things that were causing a lot of time, energy, frustration, and thought, how can we fix that? And kind of came up with solutions starting with the need.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part of what design thinking is. So we'll just kind of go in, and first we're going to share the Kaylee interview, and you had a chance to listen to it.
It did, yeah.
Before, yeah.
But something I want to mention about the Kaylee interview is not just Kaylee that we're talking with.
No, yeah, yeah. So we also talked with Sierra Santoyo, who is a quality assurance specialist. Oh, now she's going to kill me for not knowing her title, too.
Her title. Way to go, Audrey.
But it's quality assurance something. She has a background in UX as well. And she worked on the extension with Kaylee, helping her kind of looking for ways to improve it and guiding that. And she'll talk more about that in the interview, as you'll hear. And then we also talked with another Brian, and he was a developer on the extension. And so he talks about his experience with that too. So enjoy listening to the interview, and we'll be right back. Hi guys.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Fantastic.
Awesome. Tell us who you are really quick so everyone knows who we're talking to.
I'm Kaylee Tucker with Convergent Solutions.
Amazing.
I'm Sierra Santoyo from Platinum Edge Solutions.
Hi, I'm Brian Thompson. I am one of the developers at Platinum Edge who helped develop Console.
Awesome. That's amazing. And we're talking to you guys today because We have an exciting extension getting released called Console. Kaylee, tell me about Console and what it is, and also like why did you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Console was created because I mean it's been kind of in the works for about 7 years now. Yeah. I started Convergent Solutions with the idea to help designers get better at CET and save time in production work. And so Console is like sort of just a collaboration and what do you call it? Like where it just sort of it all came together to create automatic.
Is it like convergent almost?
Yes, everything converged. And so the Console extension, what it is it takes CET papers and it applies smart data fields that automate all of that information that you already have in CET. So you can quickly create a cut sheet or a lookbook, very quickly based on the information that's in CET.
That's so amazing.
Yes.
You showed me a little demo of it a while ago and I was like, people are going to save time.
It literally saves designers days.
Yeah.
Days.
That's so nuts.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Like it's so, what I love about it is I feel like it came from, you saw a need. And you were like, I'm going to fix that. Like, I see a problem from the real people doing the things, and how can we fix it?
Yeah.
So, Brian, how do you fit into this? Why are we talking to you?
Well, Kaylee approached Platinum Edge Solutions to develop her extension, and I was the developer, and they asked, hey, do you want to do this special project? They said, Kaylee's been a long-time user of CET. She's an expert on CET. And she has some really good ideas. And I said, I'll look at it. And I looked at it, and I was like, this is amazing. I really hope that this works, and it works out. And then I started looking into actually developing it, and I was like, yeah, this is going to work.
Brian's passion is amazing, and he is the best developer. I'm a little biased, but like he's the best developer around. He takes an idea and just runs with it. And I was like, well, I kind of need to bring in some finishes and I'm not really sure how we're going to do that. And then like the next afternoon, he's like, this is how we're going to do it. He's amazing.
Like, again, see a problem, fix it.
Yeah.
So you've worked on other extensions before, Brian?
Yeah. I've mainly worked on manufacturer extensions with Technion and N-Work. So mostly furniture extensions, placing furniture in CET, and you get all the calculations, the VOM, all the renders you need. So Kaylee's extension, Console, is quite a bit different. It's all about saving time on cut sheets. It's not a specific manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to make it work with as many manufacturers as possible.
And it is available for material handling in kitchen and bath, too. So it's furniture agnostic, and it's a manufacturer agnostic. So it doesn't matter, you know, what information you have in CET. It's all about getting that onto your paper and getting that out the door. And you can export it to PowerPoint, so you can send it to your salesperson. You can just create whatever you want. And it works with all of the other CET default functions. So if you need to put, text fields or 2D view clips or all those other fields, just do it.
Just do it.
It works with all of those standard functions as well.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sierra, why are you here?
Why am I here? Well, I was the QA, so the quality analyst for the project. So I worked in tandem with Brian and Kaylee. So really kind of working primarily with Kaylee on just what is she wanting as far as what the extension looks like, how it functions, and then relaying that back to Brian to try to talk, okay, so what does that mean on the back end and how can we find a solution to fit what she's asking for?
Sierra's been really great because she does have that like user experience, and so she knows the user process. I mean, I like won the lottery with Brian and Sierra because like best QA, best developer, like how I'm a lucky girl. So, but because we have really good talks and discussions about, you know, what is a user going to click on and what are they going to need and how do they work? So
I'm really excited to hear, like, as you get people like, you know, on the extension and using it, like what kinds of feedback you get. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Just from what I saw.
It really sells itself. If a designer or a user sees it, like actually sees it, then they see their process and it kind of goes through their brain and they're like, oh, yes. I need this. Like, this is what I spend hours doing all week long.
Right.
And so when they see that you can pull in the finish image, so you can pull it, you can have your own rendering, or you can create a rendering, you can copy the part data, the part tagging data is their price. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, I copy paste that stuff all day long.
Yeah. The information's already there. Just use it smartly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Automate it. It's like everything else in CET, right? Like, it's all connected.
Right.
So whatever's in your drawing space is connected in pay-per-view and in calculations. Right. However, we were missing that component of being able to add those smart data fields that would leverage the information from calculations. Right. And that's what basically Brian has been able to do.
Hey, hey.
That's amazing. So, yeah, I guess this question, each of you can answer it. How does it feel to, like, be launching this at such a big event and see your work, like, come to life and people, like, interact with it?
It's exciting.
Yeah?
To see how many people are passionate about furniture and design and just creating beautiful spaces. And I really think that this is going to help them, and it's going to help them focus more on the beauty part that they're passionate about and less on the grunt work part.
I love that.
I did make a designer cry because it was tears of joy.
Yay.
She saw it working and she started crying because she was like, oh my God, I've been wanting this forever. So that always, it touches you. So
but to see the impact.
It's very rewarding to feel that. It's
That's why
very
we do
rewarding.
What we do.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, at the end of the day, we're all here to help people. We're here to help designers.
Yeah.
And I've attended NeoCon as a college student with my employers.
Yep.
I've, you know, hung out at booths, and this time being able to attend on behalf of Pez and walk around and see these showrooms, but then also see console being released at the same time.
In a different lens.
Yes, through a very different lens, but it's just so, like, it's invigorating to just see, and it's exciting, and it keeps us wanting more.
I think it's really interesting listening to that, because it was cool that you actually had an opportunity to talk to both the person who kind of had the idea originally and the development team that was actually responsible for getting it out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kaylee had an idea. She basically shopped around to find somebody who could do it for her. She found Platinum Edge. They are great partners of ours. They've done lots of really cool extensions, and cool work on those extensions for a long time. And I think the other, so I think it's really great to hear from all three of them. Basically, the person who spawned the idea, the person who's checking the extension, making sure it's working, releasing the extension, and the person who basically does the work, essentially, to get it out the door. There's a couple of things that I find interesting. Language was actually talked about a couple of times, or like the barrier between like developers and non-developers. And that's something that's really great with our partners or people who are kind of on the inside QA. And I think UI UX actually sort of have a similar world in that they have to live in both. Mm-hmm. They have to understand what the user's asking about and talking about, and they have to understand what the developer's asking about and talking about. And so do project managers for that record too.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is interesting about this conversation also is Brian's going through something that I went through at Experience, which is this, you're not living behind a keyboard anymore. You're not sort of pushing things out to people you'll never meet sort of thing. You're actually in it, listening to those people talk and hearing their needs and that sort of thing. And it's definitely a perspective changer in a lot of ways. The things that users will tell you about when they're like in person, for some reason that just doesn't get to you. And sometimes it'll seem obvious to everybody. And I think that's part of the problem. What seems obvious isn't obvious. So I think that's a really cool thing that happens. And that's actually one of the reasons I'm on this podcast that we talked about in our pilot, right? I think it's a really cool thing to like listen to the people that you're directly helping that you sometimes are on the other side of the world or might as well be because you don't actually directly interact with them.
Yeah. The thing that you were talking about with things that might seem obvious that aren't obvious, that is what they call transparency bias.
Give me more.
Yeah. So it's this idea where you think that other people know the same things that you know. And I think the perfect example is acronyms.
Yeah.
Where I can go out and say, hi, I'm a UX researcher, and just blah, 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 keep talking. People be like, a what? And I'm like, oh, UX, user experience. So that's like a really simple example, but it's the same with like, you know, it, I think the context that you say that is interesting of like a developer might not really know the impact that their work has had, yeah. even if it's a positive thing. And users may be like, oh, these developers must be so proud of themselves, but they're actually just like, well, I'm doing my job. Well, so it's kind of a good point.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, because where the pride comes in from a developer is likely not the same thing the user would probably say. Mm. That's the thing they should be proud of. Or I bet they're really happy themselves, because when you think about it, like you can work on a super advanced, super difficult, really hard feature. And a lot of times what you're actually solving is like 90% edge cases, things that a user's probably not realistically going to get into, but need to be solved because it's a possibility. You don't want the thing to crash or break or whatever. What is interesting though is like when you do something really small and it has like a huge impact, those like, and I think that this entire extension to a developer seems like a small thing. Oh, well, they just, you know, they take a view clip and they put a wormhole snapper in there, like I talked about before. And, we just see that. And then they just do a couple of things, bada bing, bada boom, it's done. When in reality, it may be true for any one individual product that it's not a lot of work, but when it's every product in the entire workspace over and over again, not only is it a huge deal of time, but it's got to be boring work. Like, I know that I've been told by designers that an unfortunate truth is that one of the things CET does is it makes designing really easy. The unfortunate truth of that is that the design portion is a very small part of their job. So the fun part really doesn't, you know, maybe 5 or 10% of the actual job, and a lot of it's checking things, making sure things are right, putting in installation papers and stuff like that. So I think this extension is great because hopefully it takes some of that mundane work out of the day and it brings to the forefront more of the ability for them to, you know, work out the cool stuff.
To make the boring parts automated and quicker, not the fun parts.
Not the fun parts. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to do it, right? You don't want to necessarily have the automation be the part that's like the human element of things, you know?
Yeah. I think that's, I mean, not to get totally derailed, but that's the conversation. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah. We're going to talk about AI, right?
Oh, how did you know? But no, that's the conversation around AI in general is like, what is it actually, what should it be used for? And I attend a bunch of webinars about using AI in research, and there's a lot of discussions that can be had about that in design as well. And I'm sure we could get into it another time, but for the sake of not getting too derailed, the topic is like, you know, you don't really want AI to do interviews.
Yeah.
There are AIs that can do that, but a person doesn't want to talk to an AI of like about their experience.
Mm, that's a good point. Yeah.
You don't really want an, I don't, maybe some people do, but you don't really want AI to do like the full analysis or like decide the insights. It can help you narrow it down, but at the end of the day, you want to like make those like determinations of like, this is what's most important, because, you know, lots of reasons. It would be easy to be like, oh yeah, an AI can do all of this and this and this and this, but is that really where it's most beneficial? And I've found in the research tools we use, the AI things that are the most impactful are actually really small little like mini features.
Yeah.
It doesn't change everything that we do in our work, but it boosts like these small moments, or the tedious parts like tagging. And again, I'm already derailing myself, but yeah, it's just the conversation about automation and making work less tedious and focusing development on the right things.
Yeah.
Wow. It all comes back.
Yeah. I mean, like we talked about with Jenna Tran, right? It's use cases. It's, it's making sure we have the right use cases. And when you think about, this particular process, this sort of mundane work, if it is taking 20 to 30% of a designer's time, you could spend forever trying to automate the design of a space and get it perfect. And you've only saved 5% of the time. You automate this thing.
Also, the designers don't care.
Exactly. The designers aren't really interested in that either. And but if you do this, not only does that help improve their day, it actually helps improve, you know, the business's day too, because a lot less time is spent doing this thing. So yeah, I think it was I think it's a really cool thing. And I think it's really awesome to hear from the entire group all at once, instead of just, you know, the person that did the thing.
Yeah.
It's the person that came up with the idea and is like, you know, this is their baby now. And then like the people who actually put that together. And it's really cool to hear like the collaborative nature of how they got there too.
Yeah. We should do that more. We should have like a group of people who worked on a project together.
Oh, that'd be a really cool idea. Yeah. Maybe we should do that. There's a couple of projects I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of one in particular that'd be really awesome to get that entire group together if we could. It'd be a challenge, but if we could make it happen, that'd be sweet.
It'd be fun. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
Nerd Alert!
Welcome to Nerd Alert, episode whatever this is. Well, we just recorded my own personal Nerd Alert on why I love Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And to end that, Adam said, well, maybe I said, you know, we should also, you know, give him the floor to talk about why he doesn't love Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Dare I say why he hates Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Would you confirm that?
Yeah, I think that hate is probably okay in this particular case. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start the timer, and I can't promise. I'm going to set an audio timer at the end to go off, because I don't know if I'll emotionally be equipped to handle watching the timer. So this one's going to be rough for me. This might be the end of our podcast.
Got it.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Go.
So biggest reason is Andrew Lloyd Webber in general. Lauren and I actually had a lot of discussions about him since having to sit through this thing. And essentially my general feeling on him was, okay, so to be honest, the worst part about Joseph for me is the lyrics. The Jeeves of his time. He's hot on dreams. What is happening right now? So I was starting to rail on Webber for that, but then Lauren kind of revealed that much like Bernie Taupin, Andrew Lloyd Webber doesn't really write the lyrics. That's Tim Rice in this particular case, who then Andrew Lloyd Webber put the music to. And then I started instructing her in why Elton John makes Andrew Lloyd Webber look like a joke, because Elton John's amazing. And so is Bernie Taupin, especially when they get together. I mean, like, I started comparing the Jeeves of his time to the lyrics of your song, and it's just like there's no comparison, right? Anyway, so that's part of the problem. But then there isn't any like indication of what's happening to you unless it's sung at you. So you have to be following this thing the entire time. I'll be honest, halfway through the musical, I looked to see how much longer there was left, which I often do when I go see a musical, especially if I'm not enjoying it, because I'm dying to know. But what's strange is I have to admit the first half went by really fast because it's crazy short. And I was actually surprised at how short it was. So I went and looked it up, and then it was telling me what the musical was about, like, in the Google AI thing. And I was like, I caught none of this. Like, I knew there was a guy with a coat. I knew he had like 12 brothers. In the version that we saw, there was like a school involved, and the narrator was like a teacher, which is a cool directorial choice or whatever. So basically what I really also dislike is like this whole mishmash of different music from different genres and stuff is absolutely insane. I don't understand the point of it. And maybe it's supposed to be multicolored or whatever, but it's stupid. It's just insane. Just keep the music one way. And that was not a long time. Honestly, I could have went on for another 5 minutes at least. So,
well, I made it through.
She did.
I can't tell
She's
you
very brave, guys.
How hard I had to hold my mouth shut. Well, I just have my...
I did get a laugh or two out of you, though, mm-hmm. So...
Mostly for how dumb you sound.
Oh, come on. The Jeeves of his time. You know that's a bad lyric.
No, that's bad.
Okay.
All right. So, our next interview that we did at NeoCon was with Brian Meyer.
Yep.
And we just kind of walked in...
Oh, and, we didn't walk in so much.
Well, that's true. You did not walk in. But I walked in and Lauren was there with some other configurants. And I was like, hey, who here like might be willing to do a quick little interview with me impromptu? And she was like, let me get you Brian. And so she went up and just was like, hey, do you want to record for a podcast that we're doing? He asked no questions. He just... was like, yep, sure, let's go. And we popped in the little, like, not conference room, but like a mini conference room thing in their showroom and just chatted. And a few of the people that I had talked to there, I did kind of reach out to in advance just to, like, because I knew I wanted to talk to them about something specific, and I was hoping I could do some of these impromptu ones. And so I was just like, I'm glad it worked out, but also so pleasantly surprised at just the willingness. Like, yep, sure. Yeah.
Let's actually go. There was quite a few people who commented on what a great job they thought Brian did, especially off the cuff, and how willing he was to just do it. Like, he didn't really question it. He just kind of did it, which was awesome.
Yep. It was really cool. And yeah, we learned about their kind of their collaboration with us on, what is called the Material Portal, where various material manufacturers put in their data so that it's not like duplicated on your computer for all the different extensions you have. It's going to be a lot easier to specify COMs for the manufacturers that are in the portal. So the goal is to get more and more manufacturers in there so that there's less tedious, and duplicated effort. Thank you. And yeah, I think it's going to be really great. And it's in CET right now, right?
Yeah. The Material Portal is in a beta state, for 16.0. We are looking for your feedback. If you have anything that you want to say about it one way or another, we would love to hear it because that's actually why it's in a beta state. Mm-hmm. We weren't really comfortable saying it was totally done. We've actually gotten some feedback already, Audrey and I, independently in strange places in the world a little bit, but that's okay. It's been super helpful regardless of how we got the information.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love that we are doing this a little bit more, I think, than we have historically of putting things out there that are clear, like this isn't polished, this isn't finished. We want your feedback before we finish it.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good way to, you know, set expectations so that, you know, if we release something, even if we know it's not polished, the user's like, oh, they released this feature. Well, it's not what I wanted. I'm never going to try it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas I think if it's a beta and it's clear, like they can be like, ooh, I want to try this. I'll give feedback because they're still working on it.
Yeah.
And then if it's not what I want it to be today, I'll check it when they say it's not a beta anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for everybody. But yeah, so since it's a beta, we want feedback before we like, you know, feel really confident that it's ready to go. So if you have feedback on it, if you've tested it, go to the, I think you can do it from the help menu. There's a send feedback.
Send feedback.
Yeah. And there's also a send feedback button in the top, in the header of CET as well.
Yep.
So feel free to pass on any suggestions or frustrations, things that were difficult or features that you think, you know, this would make it more valuable or this wouldn't be valuable without, you know, things like that.
There is no team at Configure that will take it more seriously than that one.
Very true. Very true. But yeah, so we chatted with Brian, learned about, you know, they're working with us, and he also chatted a little bit about their new sustainable vinyl, which sounds contradictory in terms, but it's pretty cool. So we'll let you listen to that little snippet and hear about that for yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
You are Brian, right?
I am Brian.
Brian.
Yep.
Meyer.
Meyer, yeah.
And you're with Meyer Fabrics.
I'm with Meyer Fabrics.
And is that a family name of the company then?
It is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we were started in 1897 by my great-great-grandfather.
Wow.
So I am fifth generation.
That's a burden. Or does it feel like a burden? Or are you letting, like, I'm growing up and I get to do this? Like,
there is, it's a give and take.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's definitely positives.
Yeah.
Not to say there is or there's not negatives.
Sure.
It's just very different.
Yeah.
There's an onus put on, myself, not only myself, but my cousin, who's also in the business.
Yeah.
So we're carrying.
Yeah.
The next generation of Meyers.
Yeah.
Through Meyer Fabrics.
What is your role at the company?
I am overseeing the tech operations.
Okay. Cool.
So everything from, setting up a printer, to helping deploy new products through Configura.
Awesome. So, yeah. Because you guys are going to be on our material database.
Yep.
Which will, for the users, be the material portal.
For the users, be material portal. And I've had that discussion with a couple thus far. And I'm kind of breaching the topic of, well, what once there was the material database and now it's the material portal.
Yeah.
But I think there's a division between who's using what parts of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little, like, subtle distinction.
Yeah.
I know there have been a lot of discussions about it.
Yes.
But, yeah, so how has that process been, like, getting, having a partnership with Configura and getting into this and, you know, being the head of tech operations, you'd say?
Yeah. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
This has been in the mix, at least talking about for quite some time, maybe 3 years,
mm-hmm.
But really going strong in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
So Configura, all those in that team have been fantastic to work with.
Good. I'm glad.
So yeah, made it easy. We're super fortunate and blessed to be sort of on the ground floor of assisting in the development of this, mm-hmm. Being able to kind of give our points, how we approach topics. Mm-hmm. I know there was a little hiccups from time to time about how Configura sees textile specifications and how Configura understood that. Mm. So it was nice to be able to kind of walk those through how that operates and how we see it visually,
For sure.
how it needs to operate. Yeah.
That's awesome. No, that's great. I mean, I think it's always so important to like understand the problem before fixing it, you know? And so that's so good to have these partnerships where you can be like, well, this is how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just trying to reinvent something.
Yeah. It was definitely nice to be, as I mentioned, on kind of the ground floor of starting that instead of Configura developing something and then we come in and give our thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, where we were a cohesive unit working together to develop the material database.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. Co-creating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're big with partnerships. So this is not out of our realm. We enjoy it.
Very cool. How do you feel like being at NeoCon like helps you in terms of just relationships, whether it's in the industry or with designers, or do you feel like it helps you kind of get to know users a little better? Or I always say users, but customers, designers,
industry members,
users.
Kind of interchangeable there.
Yeah.
But it's been great. Every June we come up for NeoCon and it's always a fantastic event for us. So we see a lot of familiar faces. Mm-hmm. You could call them users, you could call them customers. Sometimes they even develop into close friendships, which is also wonderful. But our NeoCon is off to a fantastic start, which is wonderful. We have a lot of wonderful people here to support Meyer. Of course, the co-branded partnership with Configura and the
party I saw the name on the cups. Now. We got our name on your cups. That's very exciting.
There. we've got some branded, I believe, there's a tablecloth. There's a napkin.
Oh, really? Wow.
So yeah, it's been wonderful. So it's always good again to see the familiar faces and obviously make new connections as well.
Yeah, I love it. Very cool. Yeah, is there anything in particular that you guys are excited about showing this year? Whether it's like physical products or obviously the co-branded with Configura is exciting. But any other products that you're excited about?
The partnership with Configura is definitely a high point for us, and it's a big focus. Bringing that into NeoCon, transitioning that over to the October experience, where we'll be sponsoring that event as well. So it'll be very good partnership there. We have, of course, come out with several product launches every single year. We really try and focus on separate market segments. So throughout the year, our reps have the ability to show, different products. So they're always looking at new, you know, let's say technology as we come forth with our new hyphen material here. That's a very nice biodegradable product.
Is that the one that is over here, the biodegradable vinyl?
It is the biodegradable vinyl.
That's amazing. And you talked a little bit about it before we started recording, but do you want to share a little bit for our audience?
Yeah. So hyphen is a new technology to the industry. It's sort of a new take on vinyl. Vinyl in the past took several years. At most, it was about 30 years to biodegrade in a landfill. But now this new hyphen technology it'll biodegrade in a landfill with the appropriate chemical components. About 90% over 24 months. So that process is becoming a lot faster. We're really telling a story truly about sustainability.
Yeah.
And a long time with vinyl, that really wasn't the case.
Right, because that's generally a pretty not eco-friendly material.
Right. Yeah, a lot of designers would sort of turn their nose to vinyl. Mm. And, they would say, is this product vinyl or show me products that aren't vinyl? Mm. Because they knew the sustainability story just wasn't there.
Yeah.
At Meyer, we have three patterns now that are active in the hyphen collection. We have two more coming out here in a couple months. So altogether, we'll have five before the end of the year, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
That was my chat with Brian, and you weren't there for that. So
no, I did miss out on that one, unfortunately.
But you listened to it.
Actually, weird logistical reasons, too.
Yeah. You don't have to get into it.
No, let's not get into that. So basically, what I thought was really interesting about your chat with Brian was like how much I learned about Meyer Fabrics and how much I actually learned about just fabrics in general. I never considered, as somebody who basically merely sits in or wears fabrics, sits upon, I should say, and wears fabrics, like sustainability concerns for like vinyl and stuff like that. That's not something I ever would have like fathomed of thinking about. And that was actually one of the things I thought was really cool. In fact, essentially we're in this podcast room right now where we record our podcast, and the walls are covered, at least the glass of the walls is covered in this curtain that essentially is like a soundproofing curtain, actually. And I would, I'm not one that like typically thinks about these sort of things, but like, it actually is super effective. We remember when we first did the first couple sound tests for the podcast and closed that curtain, what a big difference it made for the boom on the mic and stuff. Yeah. So it's really important to get those fabrics right. And it's really important to really consider those things. Mm-hmm. And I'm super glad that we've found such an awesome partner to work with. Like, they're a huge manufacturer of fabrics, but also they just have been such an awesome partner to work with in general and really helping us get this material portal thing off the ground. And I can't say enough good things about how I think the near future looks a little bit brighter with so many materials being able to be duplicated.
Or not duplicated, twice. Rather,
excuse me. Yeah, referenced twice instead of duplicated, no longer duplicated, but referenced by everything. And then it's as accurate and beautiful and renderable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Cause like if you had one extension that included Meyer Fabrics and they put in the data, and then you had another extension that also had Meyer Fabrics and they put in the data, they might have different images. Mm-hmm. And so it could look completely different. And like I've seen kind of side by side rendering of like, these chairs have the same fabric.
Yeah.
But you would never know.
Never know.
Like different, like value, like lighter or darker.
Yeah.
And like it's wild.
Yeah. And it's a lot of effort to like fine tune those materials. And it's, boy, is it hard to justify that time sometimes, even though it's so important for a commercial interiors designer to consider what that material should look like and what that needs to be. But at the same time, it's like that or deal with this crash, that or deal with this thing or that thing or add this new product. So it can be difficult to really put the time into those things. And some of the manufacturers that do, they end up making materials that are massive. Mm-hmm. And like, that's cool. But like, sometimes it actually causes the render times to take longer. Mm-hmm. It causes like CT to work a little less well. Mm-hmm. So having a material manufacturer be on our side for the whole experience, they can help guarantee that they get the best quality material for the best bang for their buck kind of thing for rendering for every purpose that it would need to be used for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So super exciting.
Yeah. Shout out to the team that helped put this together too. I think they deserve some credit for like the configurants that decided that was a thing. Brooks Snow, I think, deserves some credit on this, and Eric Hinkle and his team all deserve credit for making it happen. So.
Absolutely. But speaking of making things faster.
Yeah, and rendering especially.
Yeah. Do you like my second smooth transition?
I'm pretty impressed. I believe it or not, though, I'm a little jealous because I actually had the exact same thought. And I was like, okay, cool. And then are we going to transition now? Or in like, we looked at each other and I was going to say my thing and then you beat me to the punch for like half a second. So, but yeah, speaking of things that render better, faster.
Who's the better podcast host?
Definitely Audrey.
So. Yeah, I'm just saying. Cause I talk faster.
I'm an awkward developer out loud. So.
I grew up in a big family where we were all loud, or most of us were loud. And so at the dinner table, you just kind of had to interrupt and jump in if you wanted to say anything. So caused chaos and who knows what kind of psychological damage, but I guess it apparently made me win this one instance of who's a better podcast host. So it all paid off.
Whatever it takes.
Anyways, but yeah. So speaking of things that make things faster.
Yeah.
Who else did we talk to?
This one I actually got to participate in, and that's just because of convenience of time. But we got to talk to Jason, and I don't want to let this go in the SnapCab, little, booth thingy, a little tiny room deal. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to promote their
pod.
It was like a pod thing. Absolutely check out the SnapCab products because I promise them I would promote them on the podcast. And I think it's really cool that they let us borrow their space simply for being our booth neighbor.
Yeah.
Which was really awesome of them. We took up their space. We told them for 10, 15 minutes. And it's me, Audrey, and Jason.
I told them 5 to 10.
Oh yeah. It was 5 to 10. Okay. We absolutely took up that booth way longer than we intended to, but SnapCab was super cool about it. And cool. There's actually a clip, and I don't know if it's going to make it to the final edit, but we were actually really wowed by this ability for like the frosted glass to turn on and off the frosting of the glass. It was really neat to me.
It was great. Yeah, we really spent a lot of time on it, like pointing out the features and then like there's a moment where the person, like one of the people at the booth representing the product, popped in to like show off some features, and he showed the frosted glass, and we all went, ooh.
Yeah. So we were all really amazed by it. So like, it's weird because like, this isn't exactly like they're paying us to say this stuff.
No, absolutely
we just were
not.
Legitimately humbled by how cool that little, we just thought it was like going to be like a quiet space, but it ended up being really, really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked to Jason about his new product, Aura, which is like a render accelerator, that I think is super well integrated into our platform. So even though it's a utility extension, the fact that it has even an extension tab is just kind of a,
it's just because it has to,
it's actually
basically?
more for debugging than anything.
And what is debugging, Adam?
So debugging is the process by which like we get what a bug is, essentially like an issue of some sort, and then we actually have to try to determine what the cause of that issue is. So debugging, strangely enough, isn't so much about getting rid of the bug, although it kind of is. It's more identifying what the bug is. And then later you'll get rid of it once you determine what the cause of that thing is. So, in the actual Aura extension for developers, they can actually see some extra details and mess with some settings just to make sure things are working okay if necessary. So super cool tool. And I was really happy we got a chance to talk to Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going really well here at NeoCon in the wonderful 70-degree weather. There's no tornadoes. It's not 90 and super sweaty, so that's good.
So, Jason, who are you? Why are we talking to you?
My name is Jason London. I'm nearly a fossil in the community. I've been around working with Configurin since the second user conference, so 2000-something. Five or six, I'm not sure. I'm not one of the few that can claim to have been to every user conference, but I've been to all but one, which would be the first.
Nice.
So yeah, I was brought into this community by a designer. I was a newly titled IT manager at a dealership in Minneapolis, and someone by the name of Carrie Anderson saw me and said, I know, all right, somebody else who's been around, but she said, hey, you know, I'm trying to figure out how this application that seems like it's going to change the way we work can work in our technology ecosystem. Could you help us with that? So yeah. She brought me in, and shortly after that, Steelcase said, hey, there's a tech person who's interested in helping us adopt this new tool. We should invite him to things. So some very good people at Steelcase, including some mentors of mine, if I look back in the rear view, were willing to bring me into this community and deal with some of my madness. And many years after that, I ended up helping. Actually, I ran my own company for a short time doing consulting to help technology dealerships really tackle these really tough technology problems that aren't just specific to Configura, that are specific to their ecosystem, and Configura is part of that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And so helping make all their tools work well together, which led me to working for a company that has now built a practice around that very thing. So, and just a few weeks ago, a labor of love of mine that was started while I was working for myself, and I couldn't solve a problem for a designer who called me saying, hey, I'm really trying to get this rendering project done. Mm-hmm. I had to bring my work home on the weekend and my laptop keeps crashing. And can you help me? And I said no. And I gave this version of this speech to the CT user conference last year before we launched this. But I started developing a hardware solution using your free render accelerator extension to help them, which worked, but it wasn't scalable. When I came to work for CIT, who said, hey, we want to get into this space. We think what you're doing is really interesting. You're incredibly passionate about what you're doing. Would you like some support? And I said, I'd love that. I'd love to work for a company that's got these great values and this great, they've got the hard things right in IT. Mm. Now extend that into dealerships and make it accessible to them. So I don't want to get too far into the origin story, but it's so woven in with, both with Configura, but with this ecosystem, this community, right? And it's a privilege. A lot of people have trusted me to advise them about, what do they need technically. I've had to learn to temper my own, my own passion is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing when you get too over your skis, but it's like learning how to shape that for good. So right now I'm in this great position where we've got a great team together. We've been taking on, we run the entire IT operations for dealerships with 10 or more locations across the US, and we do everything, help desk, service desk. Maintaining and patching their infrastructure. We're selling them new laptops. We're making sure their designers have what they need. And it's fun. That was the journey I set out upon when I started this company. I said, look, I love what I'm doing for Atmosphere. Where I learned a ton about the industry and about, being a tech leader.
Yeah.
And now I get to do that for dealerships all over the country and the world. And just last week we launched Aura Acceleration in the CET marketplace. And I tell you, from a labor of love that I was building literally in my basement, screw by screw by hand.
Right. Yeah.
We still have some of the red rack servers I developed for that project back at CIT. I said, don't scrap them. Keep them because
that's for the museum when we have that.
This is very personal because I had, in fact, Rob Lawrence and I were just talking. Like, he remembers when I was walking around Minneapolis trying to sell these to dealerships. And now any dealer designer can go onto the marketplace and try it for 7 days and they can have or acceleration, which is orders of magnitude better than it would have ever been if it was just me. Mm. Working with Configura and their development team to build this, having a passionate team internally who has, you know, a designer, Sarah, looking at it saying, we have to make it better. We have to make it more accessible. There shouldn't be any buttons they have to configure. The designer should be able to buy this, have it install, and just work without IT getting involved. And that was the really the high watermark for us. So when we launched and that exact vision was realized, it was humbling. It was shocking to see that, you know, this has been a long partnership. You know, just picking laptops for CET Designer was something I've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more that dealerships need. So as we look at that, you know, it's like, what is the next problem to solve? You know, how do we make these tools run even better? How do we help designers focus on doing work they love to do and not get tangled up in the shoots of, you know, technology?
Yeah.
You can call it mediocrity, but sometimes they don't have the budget. They don't have the staff that understands their needs. Mm-hmm. And that's a vacuum that we can fill. And I'm proud of that. You know?
How do you find those needs?
A lot of it is word by mouth. We do some marketing. So we've got podcasts now. So we get out there and talk about why are we doing what we're doing? What are we doing specifically? Some dealers we've engaged really on a consultative basis. So they've said, look, we don't even know where to start. I said, well, I can help you build an IT strategy. I can take a look at your contracts. I can help you build a budget and then step back and say, look, I don't want you to feel obligated to work with me, but here's recommendations you can make to any local managed service provider or to your team and say, let's improve ourselves. If you want to work with us, we'll come back in and help you, you know, take action. So whether it's helping a dealership through a showroom renovation to think about when we make these investments in ourselves, can we also show clients how we're leveraging technology and give them a bit of advice. That's, I think a dealer's role now has become much more consultative than product focused. Mm. And we as a managed service provider in the technology space have had to make that same shift from selling hardware primarily as a service into selling the services on their own.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful. We have to play where our clients are and put the same stakes on the table, I would say. And that's what we try to do. So anyway, a lot of it is word by mouth. I will say, we've grown very quickly in this vertical market, which inside of the company, I had to explain to people what was commercial workspace. We call it commercial workspace services, but what is that?
Right.
Like, I know we got banking and I know we got education, but what is this? And so explain to them and like, why are you passionate about chairs? I'm like, I'm not. I'm passionate about the community that is passionate about chairs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a quote on a podcast. I hate being quoted myself, but it's like, look, we're force multipliers. I see my job as a technologist not to be, you know, I guess I'm the frame, the designer is the picture, right? I'm here to help them do their best work to be celebrated for that work. And that's very satisfying to me. And a lot of my coworkers feel the same way. That's why our first hire in the space was actually a designer, not a technologist.
Yeah.
And even when I think I've solved I'm like, I got this great solution to a problem. I run it through Sarah. She's like, And it's not of just micro critique. It's like, but I'm thinking about this from the user standpoint. Like, it's not easy enough yet.
Yeah.
We got to make it better.
Yeah.
And I love that. It means we've got to be really, really good at what we do. And we've had some missteps. Not every dealer we've engaged agrees with our approach. And in some cases, we've had to learn as we go. But the ones that have stuck with us and have been really passionate about the work we're doing, they come back and they refer their peers to us. And to answer your question in the very roundabout way, most of our work is through referrals.
Yeah.
It is a customer who's incredibly satisfied, who we become a strategic part of their work. Sometimes we work with them for over a year. Mm-hmm. Some clients I've had from my previous consulting, some are brand new to CIT and to us and to Aura. Aura is what, by the way, we're titling the division within CIT that services this industry specifically. So that's both manufacturers and end users and the community at large.
Cool.
That's us.
And just like a quick, elevator pitch, what is the Aura extension?
Yeah. Aura extension takes everything that's great about PhotoLab today. So, and I will say PhotoLab itself is a passion project for a lot of configurants.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you had a photographer talking about how all the things you could do with the rendering agents were really based on film photography. The problem is that there's not a laptop or desktop on the planet that can effectively run PhotoLab at its highest level of detail. What Aura does is it removes local hardware that a dealership or an independent designer has from that equation and allows them to render incredibly detailed images within CET's PhotoLab product. Sometimes you can run 12 or 16 at the same time. It would take you to run one. So it is both allowing them to improve the quality of their renderings to reduce the contention for resources. So a lot of times going to the story of why Aura exists, if a designer would normally have to stop working or have to take their work home, that's no longer a factor. You can render what took me 2.5 hours in a brand new laptop in 11 minutes, which means their work can be done during the day. They're not having to disrupt their work-life balance. So Aura is all about making designers, I think, more productive. It respects their time. Mm-hmm. And it frankly allows the sales process in dealerships to increase in velocity. So nobody ever just renders once, right? They'll set up a set of renderings, render them, and then say, are they good enough? Let me tweak some things, render them a second time. Aura enables that workflow, which frankly, I think it shows PhotoLab in a way that people, I don't think I've ever seen before. Mm. And I think to some extent, it makes it so that they don't have to buy external tools or hire external renderers. They can do it themselves. Yeah. And I think from that point of view, it's a great way to save money for a dealership, even though we do charge a fee for that service. That's going right back into that designer's productivity. And often you're getting way more. I tell most people, look, we want you to try it before you buy it because I want you to prove on your drawings with your computers how fast it is. And if it saves you time, it should save you 10 times what you spend on it. Yeah. And if it doesn't, don't buy it because I don't want you to be unhappy with what you're getting. But
yeah.
That's what it is.
So that was our conversation with Jason. And one of the things I think is so interesting about that particular one is in the first conversation we were talking about, we talked to both Platinum Edge and Convergent Solutions about like the console tool and how they developed it, how they got it working, all those sorts of things. For Jason and for this particular project, this was one that he collaborated on with us, which is a little bit unusual for a utility partner. I think he might be the first utility extension that actually did collaborate with Configura and use our development team to help build it. So that's kind of a cool thing. One of the benefits of that is that it allowed us to better integrate the tool into CET. When you're working with Configura, there might be some other things you want to consider when you're picking your partner, of course. But in this particular case, it worked out really well, I think, for our users, because with console, I think it makes sense for there to be buttons and knobs and levers and dials and things for what you're working on. But for this tool, you really want it to be as seamless as possible. And that's actually the thing I find so impressive about Aura is that you barely know it's there. There's only like an indicator in the middle of rendering that's basically just telling you how long it's taking to download or upload the actual thing. When I was first shown the tool, the development team in Sweden was actually the one that was showing me the tool in use. And it was crazy to me because they did a super complicated render and they pushed the button and it took longer for it to upload and download than it did to do anything else. So the actual render time was next to nothing. And it, of course, they're across the pond. So I can only imagine what it'll be like here in the United States.
Yeah. And tell me, when you say upload and download.
Yeah, what I mean by that, man, I am terrible about this week. Upload would basically, so download, I'll start with that one. That's taking a file from a different computer, sometimes called a server, and bringing it to your local computer so that you can utilize it for whatever purposes you need. In the case of a render, you might actually want to have that image to use for whatever purposes. So if the render is somewhere else, you'll need to download it. And then the reason I talked about upload second, even though it is the first part of the process, is because it's a little bit weirder to talk about what an upload is. It's basically the opposite of a download. Instead of being the one taking the file from somewhere else, you're putting the file to somewhere else or giving it to someone else. And in the case of Aura, it's a pretty simple operation, but the rendering job or the instructions for how to make this pretty picture go to a server that Jason's team at CIT has running, then renders that image as best it can. And Jason has done so much research for himself and has determined so well what makes a rendering the best and what hardware helps the most with rendering, that we're basically getting his expertise when we do this. It ends up on one of his server rendering farms, basically. He'll render it for you. Then he pushes it back to your computer, and that's where the download happens. So
like if I made a model airplane and I put the pieces together, but I didn't glue it, and then I drove it over to your house and I said, can you glue it?
Yeah.
And then you brought it back to my house. The upload is me driving to your house.
Yep.
The rendering is you doing the glue.
Yeah.
And then driving it back is the download.
Wow. That's really good, Audrey. I like that metaphor. Did you just come up with that on the fly?
Is
that
one?
Oh, wow. That's good. No, I'm really impressed by that. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that maybe we can touch on in an earlier is like what a rendering job is. Mm. But essentially, like, we don't necessarily have parts of an airplane that we give out. We actually just have a list of instructions that a computer can understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the metaphor works really well.
Thanks. But yeah, I actually had a conversation with Jason yesterday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. But, cause he and Sarah, who he mentions in the interview, are coming with me on a visit to a dealership next week, which I'm super excited about. And they're super excited about. If I had like counted the number of times that Jason said, I'm super excited about this.
I imagine. Like,
I would lose track.
Yeah, I know someone who talks fast. He's got me beat. And he can talk for a while, too,
yeah.
Which we really appreciate about him. But, yeah, I can imagine how many times he can say, I'm excited for something in a straight conversation in an hour.
Yeah. But I think, too, it's an interesting conversation about – because we talk so much about seeing a need and filling it with creative problem solving, right? And there is sometimes the reverse of technology, people being like, I have this cool idea. I want to change the way people work.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this can be one of those things because, like, Jason started with the need is that Absolutely. Rendering is really hard.
Yes.
And people have kind of given up, maybe. I mean, they don't always need a fancy rendering. Sometimes they do just need that white sweep. Like, here's what the typical is going to look like, whatever. But they may have also given up on it because it's too hard to do, or they don't have the time to render. Or they don't want to leave their laptop running overnight to do this rendering.
Yeah.
And so they just don't even, they might hear about it and be like, yeah, I don't really do those kinds of renderings.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, if they realize how much simpler it can be, it could change the way they work. It could make them, cause, you know, clients love those fancy renderings. Yes, they do. And we don't always have time to, like, provide those because we have so much on our plates. I say our, like, not me, but designers.
Yeah.
And so I think it could be a game changer.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you mentioned identifying a need, and I think that, both the Material Portal and Meyer Fabrics and Console and, Convergent Solutions also identified needs.
Exactly.
Although in, I imagine Meyer Fabrics case, it might not have been as quite as simple as the path that Jason and, Kaylee were on because they had the advantage of being part of the ecosystem, understanding what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, like, Meyer was able to be educated on, like, this need that we have, and they were bought in.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like we talked about, the duplication of materials going away, the better renderings, better render times, all those possibilities that we won't see benefits for a long time.
And just the ease of specification.
Yes.
If it's hard to specify, designers are going to avoid selling it at all costs.
If every minute of your day is spoken for, how do you have a minute to spare to do anything? Yeah. You got to cut anything that makes you inefficient, anything at all.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, Convergent Solutions and the console project is actually going to help the console extension, is going to help a lot with that ability for people to spend less of their time doing this, that, or the other. Just don't tell your boss.
yeah, exactly. Don't tell them. Otherwise, they're going to have higher expectations and you'll be just as tired.
Yeah. But yeah, having that ability to be able to get that stuff done quicker is just going to be such a relief. And I think such a boon. And all three of these products really show, like, starting with a need and outputting a solution for that need.
Yep, exactly. Sometimes the need you didn't even know you had.
Boom. Smooth transition right into the end. How do you like that?
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. You got one in.
Yes.
Too good. But wait, was that the end? That was like your
goal? That was my way of wrapping it up. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. Good job, Adam.
Good job, Audrey. See you next time.
Bye.